step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I mean, respectfully, guys, I find this, a lot of this offensive.
Gary Hoffman.
You're coming to some serious conclusions for a guy that has zero intelligence.
Shannon Farron. Gary.
We have nothing to hide.
Shannon.
Shameful and wrong.
Gary and Shannon.
That's what you guys should be writing and covering.
Got me wondering,
why
are those really your eyes?
Hi.
Looking back at me, should I take a chance?
I should not have consumed all that information right before the show. Holy hell. Some things are just, you know, you shouldn't know.
Yeah, you better.
Right?
Lord.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome to, what is this, Wednesday, it seems like?
Who cares?
Wednesday, October 14th. So tomorrow night, by the way, was supposed to be the next debate.
But
there isn't going to be one.
No, they're going to have dueling town halls.
Now, there's a couple of things that I think are funny about social media, and I mentioned this yesterday. I'm starting to fill in my argument about how incredibly unimportant slash important social media has become. One of the things that's amazing is the president is going to participate in a town hall with NBC News in Miami at the same time that Joe Biden is taking part in a town hall meeting in Philadelphia with ABC News. And I think it's Stephanopoulos that's going to be hosting Joe Biden. The NBC one is going to be done by Savannah Guthrie. Savannah Guthrie on Twitter today is being accused of holding the water of the Republican Party.
What?
Wait, it gets even better. Did you hear the exchange with Nancy Pelosi and Wolf Blitzer, where she accused Wolf Blitzer and CNN of echoing Republican talking points about a potential stimulus package?
Well, she's off her ass.
This is we have now reached the point of ludicrity,
lunacy,
all of those words,
all of the L's.
Every word, all the L's. And Amy Coney Barrett said the two worst words you could ever say yesterday. You know what they were? Sexual preference. Did you? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I
saw
that.
My God. Yeah. And here's the thing. She didn't even say it yesterday. Mazie Hirono, the senator from the great state of Hawaii, said that her use of the term sexual preference in reference to a Supreme Court case, Obergefell, I think is what it's called, right? Obergefell.
That's a gay marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From 5 years ago, that her use of the term sexual preference somehow meant that she hates the gays.
Well, preference does not necessarily preclude something that you're born with, right? Like, you can be born feeling a certain way and it still be your preference,
right? Well,
And they're making it sound like she said, you get to pick what you like.
Here's Mazie Hirono's explanation from yesterday.
You use the term sexual preference.
What?
To describe those in the LGBTQ community. And let me make clear, sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term.
Okay.
It is used by anti-LGBTQ activists to suggest that sexual orientation is a choice.
Okay. That's fine. Listen, I don't have a problem with her saying that. It is used by some people to suggest that sexual orientation is not a choice. But then you're assuming that Amy Coney Barrett is saying it that way. And you're assuming that I saw it referred to. Okay, it was from pink.com, pinknews.com. I don't know if you
get the newsletter.
I do.
Yeah.
They did say that this was a homophobic dog whistle.
Oh, God.
Okay. It's not. It's somebody who, I would say this, maybe doesn't have a lot of gay friends. Maybe doesn't understand that the term sexual preference is outdated and offensive, to use Senator Hirono's terms. And here's the worst part about what happened. Mazie Hirono dragged on for the entire 20 minutes yesterday. I was listening to it when I was driving home. She dragged on for the entire 20 minutes and never gave Judge Barrett an opportunity to respond to that. So that when Joni Ernst came on, senator from Iowa, she had to basically give up some of her time and say, Judge Barrett, is there anything you'd like to say?
Make a quick follow-on to some of Senator Hirono's comments. One, you know, I've said a number of times during the hearing that I can't comment or grade existing precedent. And I want to be clear that the point of doing that is not to say whether I agree or disagree with it. It's not to implicitly signal that I do disagree with it.
No, that was because she had been challenged on her opinion about Obergefell and whether or not she approved of same-sex marriage.
So in saying that I couldn't opine on whether Obergefell was rightly decided or not, I was certainly not indicating disagreement with it. The point of not answering was to simply say it's inappropriate for me to say a response. And the second point was to say that I certainly didn't mean and, you know, would never mean to use a term that would cause any offense in the LGBTQ community. So if I did, I greatly apologize for that. I simply meant to be referring to Obergefell's holding with respect to same-sex marriage.
What's happening is it's the fourth quarter. The defense is tired. And Tom Brady, who is the Senate Democrats, are going to try to pick apart a struggling and tired and on their heels defense. And that's what's going on. That's why today's questions are so much more forceful than yesterday, because they know that she's been up there for hours and she's wearing down and she's going to have unforced errors. That's just what happens when you're in a deposition or any sort of thing where you're questioned for hours upon hours. Today, it's a little different as opposed to yesterday. They had 30 minutes. Today, they have 20 minutes, each senator does. But still, it's a freaking long haul.
Yeah. And again, it's so much of the time is used by these senators to make these political arguments about the Affordable Care Act, about the coronavirus response, about same-sex marriage, about whatever it is, without asking questions of the jurist that they're supposed to be examining right now. They're not even going through and giving her the option in some cases to answer the questions or even the hypotheticals that they're putting out there. Now, in many cases, she's already said, I'm not going to answer hypotheticals. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to be able to give you an opinion on a case that might, for example, be pending before this current Supreme Court, considering she might be part of it. Now, Lindsey Graham today stepped in it. He didn't mean to.
And one of the reasons you can say with confidence that you think Brown versus Board of Education, super precedent.
By the way, super precedent is a term that's being used that it would be a decision that is so accepted, it's not even worth revisiting. Brown versus Board of Education, of course, was the one that ended segregation.
Brown versus Board of Education, super precedent is that you're not aware of any effort to go back to the good old days of segregation by a legislative body. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I've also said that in lectures that Brown was correct as an original matter. So that is the kind of thing, since I've said it in writing, I felt like I could express before the committee.
Now, okay. Graham's opponent is seizing on that moment of him saying the good old days of segregation.
Yeah.
And obviously he meant it sarcastically.
And he said so afterwards. There was a break. He had an opportunity to explain.
I want to assure the people of South Carolina that statement was made with dripping sarcasm. The point that I'm trying to make, there is nobody in America in the legislative arena wanting to take us back to that dark period in American history.
But you're right. It's something that they can seize on and say.
Oh, yeah. They just pulled that quote. I mean, it was dumb of him to say that.
Stupid thing for him to say.
Right.
I get it. I mean, this guy's personality, that kind of fits in with who he is.
Yeah.
He's kind of a smart ass.
But it's a tone-deaf joke.
It was
unforced error. Again.
Now, back to the sexual preference thing really quickly. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary changed their definition of sexual preference after the hearing yesterday. After the hearing. When Mazie Hirono announced to everyone that the term sexual preference was offensive, the online dictionary now includes the following addendum. The term preference, as used to refer to sexual orientation, is widely considered offensive in its implied suggestion that a person can choose who they are sexually or romantically attracted to. What if, can she, does her apology stand, by the way? Does she say, listen, I use that term. I didn't realize it was offensive. I had no intention of offending anybody. That's not what I.
But it shows her way of thinking.
No, I don't even think it does that, because if you go through, you can find dozens of examples of Democrats saying the term sexual preference, and they would never be accused of suggesting that, the same thing that she's being accused of. I'm just saying that she may not have caught up with the current terms.
Like, it hit a nerve, because that case could be on the chopping block. There's been a lot of talk about that case specifically involving gay marriage that is on the chopping block, the same way Roe v. Wade is when you have a conservative court. And it's dear and it's personal to so many people. And so when they hear anything that could threaten their life and how they explain their relationship to their kids, if so longer mom and mom aren't married, what do I tell? You know, it's very personal. And anytime you have a personal thing like that, it's, you're going to be searching for anything that could destroy it. And that's what it is.
And you mean searching for that threat.
Right.
Keeping an eye out for that.
Exactly.
Threat. Got it. All right. Gary and Shannon will continue. Oh, my darling, put your bodies on me. Can't judge because I feel the same thing. And I'm here for whenever you need to put it all on me.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up after Layla's news at the bottom of the hour, What You Watching Wednesday. I started that haunting of something or other on Netflix.
Bly Manor?
Yeah. It creeped me out. I didn't think I would be able to watch it, but after I got over the ghost sightings, it's pretty good. It's different. Did you see Derek Henry with that stiff arm on Josh Norman last night?
One of the greatest breakdowns of it, I think it was on SportsCenter later on, was he hit him so hard, the guy's feet didn't know where they were. Like, he's launched in the air and his feet are going the wrong way because he's just absolutely a butt over tea kettle.
Give me all the memes of that. They have been great.
Speaking of football specifically, Denver Broncos running back Melvin Gordon, former Charger Melvin Gordon, cited for DUI in Denver. Cited, though, not arrested, charged with speeding also. I think they set an arraignment for the 13th of November. They're supposed to be in Vegas a couple days later. Tampa Bay Rays will try for their sweep of Houston Astros tonight in the ALCS, 5:40 first pitch, and the Dodgers, man.
Oh, boy.
The Dodgers will try to stop the bleeding against the Braves this afternoon at 3, but...
Gotta win this game.
It's the must-win.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not the must-win, but it is the must-win.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been talking about Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett, and some of the questions that she's been asked about today are things about whether, for example, the president could pardon himself if he's accused of a crime. Cory Booker mentioned this yesterday, the senator from New Jersey, and the president didn't like that at all because it was a hypothetical, assuming that the president gets charged with a crime. During or after his term as president, would he be able to pardon himself? And she was asked the same question today by Patrick Leahy of Vermont. And she said, I'm not going to – hypotheticals. What do you want me to do? I've told you before. It's inappropriate for me to answer hypotheticals like this. I'm not going to do this. Dick Durbin, this was my perhaps, I think, the funniest quote of the day. Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, said there's an orange cloud hanging over the nomination. An orange cloud. He didn't specifically say he meant Donald Trump is the orange cloud hanging over the confirmation, but that's exactly what he meant.
Kamala Harris caused a dust up when she asked about the Affordable Care Act. She said, prior to your nomination, were you aware of the president's statement committing to nominate judges who will strike down the Affordable Care Act? I'd appreciate a yes or no answer. And she said back, I don't recall hearing about or seeing such statements. And then Harris brought up an article that Barrett wrote criticizing John Roberts' decision for upholding the Affordable Care Act. Harris went on to say the Affordable Care Act and all of its protections hinge on this seat. Barrett hit back with, I would hope the committee would trust my integrity.
From what I've seen, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, the only actual time the president has said he would nominate someone to do away with the Affordable Care Act was in the summer of 2015, which was after he was after he announced that he was running for president, but before even the first debate took place, he was critical of John Roberts. And I don't know if there's anything since then, tweet wise, that said anything to that effect. The issue of doing away with the Affordable Care Act, or even like we were talking about, Obergefell versus Hodges, which is the decision that allows same-sex marriage. It seems to me that a Supreme Court, any Supreme Court, regardless of the makeup, regardless if it's conservative or liberal or just considered down the middle, Supreme Courts in general have a really hard time taking away rights that have already been extended to people. And I don't know the level of threat of that actually happening.
Well, the Trump administration, you know, he may not have said anything about that since 2015, but the administration has chipped away at the Affordable Care Act the way that a lot of people believe that the Supreme Court will chip away at
abortion.
Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Like they have, they've done little things like most recently in July of this year, turned up rules that would make it easier for employers to keep offering pre-Obamacare plans. You know, just little things that they've been able to chip away repeatedly since the president took office. So he may not have been vocal about it, but all of the orders and the things behind the scenes that nobody pays attention to because it's boring, they have gone after.
All the bureaucratic administrative stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Gary and Shannon, we'll keep an eye on.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
By the way, Amy Coney Barrett will be on Capitol Hill today for hours and hours and hours, tomorrow for hours and hours, and I expect there's going to be some sort of a vote. I believe it's tomorrow, either tomorrow or Friday, but they don't like to work on Fridays. You know, people like to get out of town.
Yeah,
and stuff,
sure. So. I understand it.
Yeah, if anything happens, we'll keep an eye on it.
Crisscrossed in the wrong direction. Found myself in a conversation. From a missed connection. Standing there in a purple dress. Point my eyes in the right direction. Find myself in a conversation. From a missed connection.
Does anybody in engineering, do you think they have hammers here? There's got to be a hammer here somewhere, right? I just want to start bashing the front of my forehead in with about a 16-ounce hammer.
I want to jump out of that window. Okay, sorry. We're just learning a lot today.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I won't talk for the rest of the day. Gary
Please
and Shannon.
Don't.
October 14th. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, there will be no debate tomorrow night on television, but there will be a couple of conflicting town hall meetings. We've known for a couple of weeks now that Joe Biden is going to go on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos in Philadelphia at about 5 o'clock tomorrow night. Well, the president is going to be at a town hall meeting in Florida tomorrow night, moderated by Savannah Guthrie from NBC News. So they're supposed to be on at the same time. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about, might get into this issue of the unofficial ballot drop boxes. The Republican Party here in the state says they're going to change their labeling on the unofficial ballot drop box to try to avoid any confusion with those that are used by the actual county registrar's offices and may expand their use, even though the state has said that they may be illegal or could be or should be or might be or are. It's kind of a weird waffly situation.
It's time for What You Watching Wednesday.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
What you watching in there?
Americans love television. They wean their kids on it.
USA television much better.
You've been watching too many of those live television shows.
So I started The Haunting of Bly Manor, and Nick put it well this morning. It's about the acting. There's a lot of monologues. It's a creepy show. It's about a woman who goes to this bucolic home and is tasked with taking care of these two kids whose parents, we don't really know what happened to them, or I don't know what happened to them at this point in the series. I'm only two episodes in, but and they're creepy. The house is creepy. The little girl puts together weird dolls and is very particular about where they are placed. And the little girl also says the phrase perfectly splendid repeatedly. And it's super creepy. Like, she's giving her a tour of the house. She's like, this is the drawing room. It's perfectly splendid. This is the sitting area. Perfectly splendid. And she keeps repeating it, and it just gives you the chills. It's crazy. But it's well done so far. It's beautifully shot.
Well, let me ask you this, since I haven't seen it yet. If you didn't know, well, if you didn't know the title of it, The Haunting of Bly Manor, would you immediately assume it was a creepy show?
Yes.
Okay. Because the reason I asked that is because when you said it, it almost sounds like you're on edge going into it, knowing there's something creepy that's going to happen, and that's a creepy thing that she says those words.
You're right. That's totally 100% me. But it is, I think, it is creepy, I think. But it's good. I'm into it.
I watched last night a show that's actually was released in theaters at the same time. It was a film called Ava, which just came out. Jessica Chastain as sort of a Jason Bourne special agent working sort of off the books as an assassin. And then the people that she's working for try to get her, and she has to figure out why. And then there's the big confrontation at the end. What made it interesting to me was that it was Jessica Chastain. She's good, I think. Colin Farrell was in this thing with his normal accent. Gina Davis played Jessica Chastain's mother.
I haven't seen Gina Davis in anything in a long time.
Yeah.
What does she look like?
She looked fine. John Malkovich is in it, and Common is in it also as Jessica Chastain's former boyfriend. And she went alcoholic at one point, got dry, ended up back in the business kind of thing. Some good fight scenes and stunts, et cetera, but it wasn't.
Why do we always have to give the female spy types issues? Like, what's her face in Homeland?
Yeah,
like,
that's a perfect example.
Can't they not have chemical dependency or chemical
or even
off balance issues?
Atomic Blonde from, was it Charlize Theron is in Atomic Blonde?
Right.
There's nothing inherently wrong with that trope of somebody who is, I guess, in pain like that. But it was just, I don't know, it left a lot to be desired. So again, some of the fight scenes were good, but the idea that Jessica Chastain would not be seen as an absolute, first of all, someone who stands out that much in a crowd as being just a beautiful person, you're going to immediately raise some suspicions if they start coming on to you and you're like, no, why? If I may be a German army general who's running drugs and arms for the Saudis, but sure, random beautiful woman, I'll take you to the ambassador's office so we can get it on. Silly.
Well, you were talking about the right stuff in The Office earlier, and you mentioned that two of the characters look alike, so it's a little confusing in the beginning. And I'm looking at this picture now, and it's the two guys in the middle, right? Because they look like identical twins.
No, actually,
oh, really?
Actually, it would be, let me make sure I get them right here. It would be the guy second from the right.
Okay.
And the guy second from the left.
They all look alike.
Well, other than John Glenn, who's got like red hair.
Right.
They're all seated in this picture, but some of them are taller and shorter, et cetera. But other than John Glenn, who stands out, as you would imagine, as one of the main characters.
Sure.
I think it's Alan Shepard and whoever plays the other character that the other guy plays. They look too much alike in some of these low lit early segments, and it was hard, at least in the first episode, to keep the two guys apart.
Yeah,
there were only two episodes that have come out so far. They're going to release them every Friday.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, and part of what makes it great is I love that era. I love the late 50s, early 60s era in terms of the way it was costumed and the way that the production of it has been great. Now, I never read the book, but obviously saw the movie, the 1983 movie, The Right Stuff. And this is the same material that they're using. They're just stretching it out, spending a little bit more time with each of the different characters and stuff. So
they said it was going to be anti-nostalgia.
Well, there's warts and all in this. I mean, some of these guys are a-holes.
Okay.
But it's also the reason that they got to the point where they were
a-holes
as naval aviators.
Pilot. Yeah.
They got to be jerks and have giant testicles.
The Bachelorette started last night, apparently.
Oh,
news to me.
We'll
I watched.
Let's get your review on it then. Perfect.
Okay. What first thing? What
Wait, I'm, we'll come back and
we'll
do it.
Come back, yeah. And I want to tell you what I'm watching now. On what you watching Wednesday?
We'll get
great.
To it next.
Okay, all right, coming
fine.
Up.
Fine, I'll do some news.
He used to meet me on the east side in the city where the sun don't set. And every day you know where we ride through the back streets in a blue Corvette. And baby, you know I just wanna leave.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up in the next hour, Steve Gregory will join us. Biggest meth bust in Southern California history.
We have a strip club roundup coming up.
Yeah, we do.
And Beverly Hills voted last night. No trick-or-treating, you horrible people. Zero trick-or-treating. The city of Beverly Hills banned trick-or-treating this Halloween to try to prevent the spread of a cold, the action, or the coronavirus. The action was taken in an urgency ordinance, they said, approved by the city council last night. We've been talking about what you're watching Wednesday, some of the big shows that we've been keeping our eyes on.
And The Bachelorette is back. Layla got a chance to watch it. I didn't even know it was coming back.
Oh, you haven't seen all the commercials leading
no.
up? Oh, because this is one of the most dramatic seasons ever. So Claire Crowley.
Of course it is.
Claire Crowley, who started her Bachelorette or her journey in the Bachelor franchise like 7 years ago, she's done a few of these shows for The Bachelor. She's done like Bachelor, and then she did like Bachelor in Paradise, and then another one. So now it's her turn.
And she's older, right?
She's older. She's almost 40. And the issue is that they started casting for this show, and they were excited, and then COVID hit.
Right.
So February, she was excited. She was going to be going on her journey, and then everything was put on pause until April. Well, now we're getting to see what happened in Palm Springs with her 30-something guys last night. One guy
all
is
in a bubble, right?
They had to take, you know, COVID tests. They're at a hotel. They're actually at one of the La Quinta or something like that. They're at one of those properties. And she, one of the guys on the show was a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine from, you know, our TV careers. So I'm rooting for Garen, although he's not going to win. The controversy with this is that she finds love early on. She's going to bust up the whole season, like really soon. And they're going to bring in another Bachelorette.
Oh.
That's why this is very dramatic.
So like she's...
She's not going to finish. It's going to be the first in history. We all knew the rumors were leaked early, and so we're just waiting to see this happen, where apparently they're bringing in another girl like midway through. But Claire, last night we saw the guy who she's rumored to be engaged to right now. So this guy named Del Moss, he used to play football. She really likes him. And you can tell when he walked out the car, the first thing she said is, "Oh my God, I think I just met my husband."
Oh, he's cute.
He's very cute, right? And then
yes.
But And then last night, there's this other guy named Blake from Canada, who I think is adorable. And they also have chemistry.
Oh.
But we see from the previews, maybe we get like 5 or 6 episodes from Claire before it's this big old breakdown.
Oh, wow.
The guys are threatening to walk off. They're all like, we weren't expecting our season to be cut short. So she's going to fall in love with Dale. We also see them in the bed in one of the previews.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
She's going to fall in love with Dale and say, pretty much, I don't want to be here. Wait, I got my man.
Wait, how do they get in the bed already if we're only going to have 2 episodes?
It's going to probably be more than 2. But one of the previews we saw last night, she is snuggled with Dale. Now, she kissed Dale last night, and she also kissed Blake.
I don't like Blake.
Well, this is why I like
just pulled
Blake.
Up a picture.
The picture doesn't really give his personality. He's a really nice guy. And she said last night, listen, the rules say that we can't talk to any of the contestants before the season. But apparently Blake slid in her DMs because her mother wasn't doing well. And he said, listen, I'm thinking of you, and gave her like some well wishes. So I like him for that reason.
He has a strong jaw.
He does. But I will say, after watching last night, I'm like, Claire, girl, don't drag these other guys on. These guys really want to be there.
Right.
And she narrows it down last night, I think, to like 21 of them.
Wow.
But by the time the season is a bust, I think there are 15 left. So we're not getting many episodes. We're not going to get many episodes.
Okay, but so we don't know exactly why. Does she say, I want this guy and I don't want to continue this?
From
Do
the
we
previews,
know
we see her saying that, you know, from the beginning, even last night, she's saying that she knows that she's met her husband. So from the previews, we can tell that she's going to fall in love and she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to continue on.
Well, good, because I feel like this happens routinely, but they just keep these guys or girls around for the sake of the show. But the people know who they want or who they don't want. I mean, fairly early on, right?
And one guy says in the previews, he's like, we didn't expect this from the 40-year-old bachelorette or something like that. And she's like, well, it's because I'm 40 and I didn't settle. Like, she knows what she wants.
Exactly.
These guys are going to turn on her. They're going to be angry because they're going to feel like she knew she wanted Dale. Why are you dragging us all through this painful process?
Well, and like most of this franchise, they're not on it to fall in love with her. They're on it to get publicity for themselves.
I think. But these guys are crying.
Oh, God. Oh, for the love. This is why the birth rate's so low. Crying over a girl you don't even know.
They're crying over her in the previous. It's going to get really dramatic. So if you haven't seen it, last night was the 2-hour premiere. You guys, please watch it, because I think it's
going to
be the best season ever, because we've never seen anything like this.
I'm going to watch it now. After work.
Well, and then you have to watch Emily in Paris on Netflix.
I have. I binged that.
I'm on episode 8. I've been binging this last night.
Isn't it so good?
It's so good.
It's like crack. It's so good. I couldn't turn away from it. I watched like 7 episodes in one sitting, but they're half an hour episodes.
I got an email from Tim who says, please thank Shannon for me because of her What You Watching Wednesday recommendation from last week. I've been enjoying watching Emily in Paris every night
it's
with
so
my
good.
Wife, who loves it.
Yes.
And he says, I do too. Help me, Gary. For the love of God, help me.
It starts off infuriating. You're like, this is such a vapid show. This girl is you kind of don't like her. And then you learn to love her. And the fashion is great. And the characters and how they all come together. And it's just, I can't say enough
about
it.
It's like a Sex and the City meets
Gossip Girl.
Well, yeah, but also Devil Wears Prada a little bit with The Boss, right?
Yes.
I love it.
So
I watched
good.
7 episodes last night and started the 8th this morning.
See?
I know.
I did
know.
The same thing.
I have no life, guys.
Oh.
I have no life.
None of us do. We have nothing to do. I feel like I've watched everything in the past 8 months. Now I'm excited to watch The Bachelorette.
Go Claire.
Get
your man, girl.
On. There's baseball games on. Can you please?
Get your man,
Mom,
Claire.
Can you please?
All right. When we come back, hot prop talk with Chris and Carlo. Proposition 24.
Oh,
this
my
is all
God.
About
I love consumer privacy
consumer
talk.
Consumer privacy laws.
Hot prop talk.
Gary and Shannon will continue right after this.
Guy on the skateboard keeps posting new videos and I'm here for it. It's just like him dancing to 90s R&B, and
I love that guy. I
like
that he wore the Lakers jersey after they won, drinking champagne.
Yes.
I don't think it was champagne. I think it was
wine. He was drinking salsa in one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, take advantage of it, man. The Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, day three now of testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She's going to go through today for several hours, expected for some hours tomorrow also, answering some pretty sticky legal questions, and in other cases, absolutely ridiculous hypotheticals. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said there is an orange cloud hanging over the nomination of Barrett to the Supreme Court. Now,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He didn't say he meant, you know, the Donald Trump orange cloud, but everybody knows that's exactly what he meant. A quick update.
The thing that's crazy is that Donald Trump isn't even a real conservative.
I don't think he ever has been. I mean, his issue, the idea that he's held fast to conservative ideals his whole life is just provably false.
100%.
The president, by the way, and Joe Biden are going head to head tomorrow night, but in different places. They will be doing two separate town hall meetings on what was supposed to be their second debate, on the night of what was supposed to be their second debate. The president will be in Miami, hosted by NBC News for a town hall there, in Savannah Guthrie. At the same time, Joe Biden takes part in a town hall in Philadelphia by ABC News, hosted by George Stephanopoulos.
The president is going to be all about who gets the better ratings. And the president will get the better ratings, TV-wise, because everyone's going to tune in to see what he says, because it's going to be something, he could go off the rails at any time, and it's entertaining. And then Biden, he's more calculated. He probably, you know, he might step on his genitals a little bit here and there. But, you know, the president's just more of an entertaining person. So
right.
He's going to get the higher ratings. And then he's going to take to Twitter and boast, see, America loves me more, higher ratings, all caps.
When it really is that he's just the bigger unknown.
Exactly.
We've been following the propositions. There are 12 of them coming up on the November 3rd ballot for the state of California. And Chris Ancarlo has been helping us wade through some of the ballot information that's out there. And Proposition 24 is all about consumer privacy laws, the California Privacy Rights Act of 2020. Chris, what's going on?
Oh, this one's just so easy. Just so easy to explain.
Oh, it is.
Just.
Huh?
52 pages of technical legal jargon.
Yeah, not an easy read.
No, it's not. Not at all. So there's background, as there is with all of these. And with this one, it's kind of interesting in that it's a guy named Alistair McTaggart. He's a real estate developer up in San Francisco, but he's also a privacy advocate. And 2 years ago, when I was beginning production on this series for the 2018 cycle, I sat down with him outside of the Capitol building up in Sacramento. And we had a chat about what was to be a ballot measure on that year's cycle. Do you guys remember voting on that 2 years ago?
I don't remember. I don't feel like I remember voting on anything in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's,
I voted for Ralph Nader
with your,
not in the last 10 years. You didn't.
No.
Oh, I find that truly interesting, and we'll have to unpack that a little bit later. I'm all in favor of seatbelts, but Shannon, we will have to talk about that. So, as far as why you don't remember, it's not because you're getting older, Gary. It's because that did not make it onto the ballot. And the reason it didn't make it onto the ballot was because there was a deal that had been brokered with the legislature to create this consumer privacy protection law, specifically focused with online information. And so that law was created by the legislature in partnership with McTaggart. I was pissed off because I had a great interview with him that I could no longer include in the series because it was no longer a proposition. And we all moved forward collectively. And then we didn't move forward collectively because then suddenly in the last 18 months, oh, wait a second, what is this? Are they collecting signatures? Oh my goodness, they're collecting, they're going to move this. This is going to go, what? And so, yep, we've got a yet another ballot initiative that has to do with privacy protection online. And everybody, you know, you look at it, you're probably scratching your head as to why. I'm trying to unpack as to why. And the biggest reason that I have been given by proponents of this proposition is that they weren't allowed to go far enough. And I want to make sure I have the right cut here queued up. Sorry, I only slept like 4 hours last night. Let's see here. This is Bob Hertzberg, senator, state senator, coming from the Valley, and he was really one of the forces to bring this together. And I believe this cut right here is of him explaining a bit why.
Made that deal, and the way we did it was to get the measure off the ballot in 2018. And left a year of time for us to be able to try to work out the details, because we knew that you needed the sunshine and light of hearings to be able to really flesh it out and make it work, that the deal we made in 2018 still had holes in it. And what happened was all these big companies came in, and same old, same old. They wanted exemptions. Insurance wanted exemptions. The automobile companies wanted exemptions. And it was clear to me that we were never going to be able to write a privacy law that worked. In addition, it became clear from all...
So we were never going to be able to write a law that worked. And that is one of, and this brings up an interesting idea here as we draw close to the end of the ballot, as to why people choose to take the initiative road. And in this case, you can take the initiative road because there's a certain purity to the law. And what I mean by that is that once you have constructed the law, once you have written the language for the proposition, once voters approve it, then you don't end up with all of these different forces that are changing and massaging the measure as it's working its way through the process. That's a good thing and that's a bad thing. You know, it's good because you get, again, that purity. You have the intent, the original intent of the law in its shape and form, but it's also bad because part of the process, part of the overall process is working with all of these different entities to try and find something and build something that impacts everyone and that has input from everyone. So you kind of see the tit for tat there. What does this law do? What does this proposition do, rather? It will create, first off, a privacy protection agency. So there will be, I think it's like five commissioners that will be assigned to this, and they will look out to see that businesses are following the law and to follow up on complaints coming from individuals that of businesses and other entities that are not following the law. So what is the law? Well, basically it says, you know, all those annoying drop boxes that you get anytime you visit a new website, and it says, are you going to save your cookies or eat your cookies? Or do you want to share your cookies with other people? Well, the cookies are all the privacy data that you are sharing with all of these companies. And these companies can take that privacy data and then they can sell it off. So you can search Google for, oh, I'm going to search for a car. You click on a website for a car and you start reading it, and all of that information is cached and is sent along perhaps to a dealership that's trying to advertise to you. And so they send you, suddenly you get an email from a dealership or you get a pop-up from a dealership and they say, hey, I've got a new car. You should come down and check it out. That's a rather innocuous way of putting it. The sinister way is, think back to Cambridge Analytica, where you are liking stuff on Facebook. You're like, oh, I like that cat. And oh, you know what? I like that cat too. And oh yeah, I would vote for this because I like cats and this protects cats. And next thing you know, there is a behavioral profile that has been built based off of all the cats that you like and the fact that you actually took the time to like a law about cats. And so as you move toward the future, campaigns, as we saw with the Trump campaign back in 2016, they're able to get into what we call micro-targeting, which is essentially building off of those profiles to gear specific messages toward you and drive people to the polls based off of those hyper-specific messages, which then further complicates the overall political messaging and creates the complicated situation that we were in 2016 and continue to reside in today. So that's part of the reason why privacy is important. That's just one little side.
This is why Gary gets a bunch of Goop ads.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the
clicks
thing,
on all
right?
Those Goop articles.
I do research on all sorts of really terrible stuff.
Me too. You're not kidding.
It's a dangerous.
I do it for work. I don't know why you do it.
You don't need to know everything about
me.
She
does it more on a dare than anything. I dare you to Google that. Yeah. Good
wouldn't
luck.
Believe what I Googled this morning.
Well, it's Chris, it sounds like this is kind of a there's a lot of stuff in this Prop 24, but that even if it does take some steps towards protecting our privacy, there are other steps it takes that would actually reduce our privacy or reduce our ability to protect our privacy.
Yeah, and that's where you get the no. And that's the interesting thing about this. The no campaign is helmed by somebody who partnered with McTaggart to create that original ballot initiative. I talked to her. Name's Mary Ross. And they partnered back in 2017, 2018 to create that initial initiative. She did not think that it went far enough. He was satisfied with the deal with the legislature. And then this newer deal that has been worked out to in the form of Prop 24, she now thinks is kind of working in the opposite direction. One of her big concerns is the fact that the protections on your data isn't as explicit as it may seem in the initiative. So I don't know if I have an example, a time to play a cut real quick, or if you want me to hold on to it.
Go ahead
or
and get
if you
that.
Want me to go away.
No, get that cut.
Okay. So here we go.
It provides a loophole. So you could choose not to tell someone that you're collecting their geographic information, wait until that person leaves the state, which, let's face it, most people travel a lot, and then suck up all that information.
Oh, Zoom's wonderful. Very meta, by the way, all these conversations happening over Zoom, which has had its own privacy issues
right.
throughout this pandemic. But no less, what she's saying there is she used the example of a flashlight app. You
sure.
download a flashlight app, great. Okay, it's free. Wonderful. But is it really free? Because when you use that flashlight, it's recording where you are. It's recording what sort of circumstances you're using it, how long you're using it. And that's all information that you know, seems innocuous, but again, can be used in very nefarious ways, or it can just be used in very aggressive and annoying ways. And so under the California law, those companies, unless you say, yeah, you can collect this information, they cannot collect that information. But, and here's the big but, when you have that app on your phone, it's still recording that information. And so you take a road trip and you head out to Phoenix, and as soon as you cross over the Colorado River and you ping on a tower in Arizona, you're no longer in California. And because you're no longer in California, that data that's saved on your phone now uploads to the tower and is downloaded by a server somewhere in North Carolina under incredible amounts of air conditioning, and it's stored there and it is added to your overall profile. Welcome to Black Mirror.
I love the air conditioning too, in the server farm in North Carolina. Chris, as always, we thank you.
Anytime, guys.
When we come next time, Prop 25 is replacing money bail with a different system. We'll talk about that with Chris.
Coming up next, where are we in terms of reopening in LA County? We've got some updates for you.
Beautiful people, top designer clothes, front row fashion shows. What you do?
Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You ever thought about what's going on in Vegas? Rich Johnson's going to join us a little bit later this hour and talk about how things are progressing there in the, I was going to say the heart of the state of Nevada, but I don't know if I'd say it's the heart.
I believe it's the heart.
What body part would Vegas be for the state of Nevada? Oh, that part?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Rich will join us. Steve Gregory's also just a few minutes away. We're going to be talking about the biggest meth bust that we've seen.
And there's like a big tattoo right above it.
Ugh, and like random open wounds. Yeah, I think I've seen that. Well, yesterday we got the new colors and tiers and phases and stages and echelons from the state. And it turns out that there are a handful of, sorry. Let me apologize to the entire city of Las Vegas for that comparison. Oh, man. If you could only post that picture,
I'm crying.
It makes sense. All right. So yesterday, the state came out and patted some counties on the head for doing well when it comes to controlling the spread of coronavirus, specifically Santa Clara and Alameda counties up in the Bay Area changed from red to orange. That's fantastic. couple of others, of course, in the San Francisco Bay Area are in orange now. And Sonoma County, unfortunately, still in purple. But in the seventh week of the new phases and stages and echelons and colors, Dr. Mark Galley announced several counties. I mentioned Alameda and Santa Clara, Colusa County, Kern County, Kings County, San Benito, Stanislaus counties all moved from purple to red. Alameda and Placer went from red to orange, and along with Santa Clara, Sierra moved from orange to yellow. All of that indicates minimal spread, at least in those last two. So those are all fantastic movements, but they're not L.A. County.
No, L.A. County is finding itself slipping further and further away from reopening.
So there are 58 counties in the state. There are 55 congressional districts, right? And the congressional districts are the ones that are actually divvied up by population. I almost feel like that would have been a better map. Unfortunately, it would have been more confusing. But you can't. How can we in L.A. County, with a population of 10 million people, be held to the same standard as, oh, I don't know, Siskiyou County, that's got about 8,000 people?
That's a good county, Siskiyou.
Good county. I like my counties way up in the corner. That's where I like them.
Well, speaking of way up in the corner where meth usually lives, we've got the biggest meth bust in Southern California history that went down. Huge haul of meth seized by the DEA, and Steve Gregory was there. Well, I don't know if he was there, but he's on the story.
Slight correction to all of our fans in Siskiyou County. There are almost 45,000 of you.
And I don't think you do meth. That wasn't fair.
Yeah, but you got to do something about those teeth anyway.
Oh.
Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm going to try. If it's 10,000 hours or the rest of my life, I'm going to love.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. There's a break in the Senate Judiciary Committee right now, but they will in a few minutes resume their questioning of the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. President Trump, Joe Biden going head-to-head tomorrow night in a non-debate. They'll be in separate town hall meetings, one in Philadelphia, one in Miami. And the fire weather risk is back up, especially in Northern California. Red flag warning for dangerous fire conditions up there through Friday morning. PG&E is warning they may have to cut power to as many as 50,000 customers over 24 different counties up there in the next couple of days.
Well, it looks like the DEA was able to haul in a big haul of meth. Steve Gregory is on the story, joins us now. How much meth, Steve?
A lot.
Thank you, Steve, for that.
Great report.
Coming up next.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Golden mic right there.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know, Gary. I don't know if you should be talking like that or not.
Wow.
Listen, just because you have a bed made out of the extra golden mics that you have, you don't have to hang it over my head.
Have you submitted this year's entries yet?
No, because we're not sure we're going to be able to afford it.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Tough times.
It is.
What are you going to do without golden mics this year?
Well,
I mean, how are you going to be able to post that picture of you with seven of them?
Yeah, here's the thing.
Not able to submit.
I couldn't care less one way or another, but right at the last minute, I always
could. You could care less.
I couldn't care less.
You couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less.
Right.
Not could.
No, it's couldn't.
It's not exacerbate. It's exacerbate.
Don't forget Unkin.
Yeah. You know, you realize he's pulling every one of yours, right?
You know, Chris Ancarlo does such a great job on those propositions.
I was just going to say that.
We're so lucky to have him.
Golden mic winner right
there. He wins a lot of golden mics, that kid.
So,
a lot of meth.
A lot of meth.
This was at the border.
And in Moreno Valley.
Oh, my.
And in Paris, city of Paris.
So tell us about this.
5,200 pounds. And
5,200 pounds.
Yeah, 2,200 pounds in the LA region, and the 3,000 pounds at the border.
What are people going to do without their meth?
Well, so
sleep.
Yeah. This is the distinction. So this cut A here. This is the acting administrator for the DEA, Timothy Shea, kind of describing the catch.
In the first investigation here in Los Angeles, DEA seized more than 2,200 pounds of methamphetamines and 400 kilograms of cocaine from a stash house in the city of Paris, California. This is the largest seizure of meth domestically in DEA history, as the special agent in charge mentioned. That's a significant amount of meth. These drugs were found in 25 duffel bags ready for distribution.
From the Sinaloa cartel. That's who was manufacturing it, and that's who was getting ready to distribute it. So that's a...
What kind of distribution... Sorry, the microphone is new to me. I didn't realize that I had to turn it on.
This is why you don't win the golden mics.
It'd be at least one of the reasons. What was the distribution look like? Was this California? Was this the Western United States?
It included the operation. It was part of this bigger operation that was spread out over, you know, like Arizona and New Orleans and other towns, other cities. As they started to look into this, it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's this spider web of operations that they were kind of getting, and 2,800 arrests overall in a six-month operation. What we were seeing today was kind of partially the national results and then the local results. Here in Cut B, when you kind of think about how much that 5,200 pounds of meth is, this is what it breaks down to.
This is enough dope to provide a dose of meth for every man, woman, and child in the United States and Mexico. It's a massive amount.
And Mexico. Wow.
Yeah. So if you think about it in those terms, that's how much meth was seized in this operation. And they had it stacked up in front of there's a warehouse. I don't know if a lot of people know there's a DEA warehouse in Montebello. And that's it's just a big warehouse of illicit drugs.
Now I'm assuming they have guards.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I walked up today, there are the three guys decked out in total tactical gear and AR-15s. They're all standing there, and I'm like, hello, good morning, because there's no door.
Did you show them your golden mic?
I pulled the wagon behind me. But
I don't know if you know who I am. 24-time golden mic winner, Steve Gregory.
No, 37.
Boy.
No, I haven't counted. I really haven't.
Liar.
No, I have not. So... anyway,
you know, there are certain people only do stories to get awards.
Why
are you pointing at me?
I didn't do that. What happens is Chris Little at the very last second is, oh, yeah, you know, the sales department can really use this. It's great promotion. I said, okay, I don't really want to enter.
You don't have to explain your excellence.
Is that it?
Your star shines bright. Yeah. Don't dim that light.
Is this over? Does this mark the end of this massive operation, or is just this happened to be a big piece of what's going
on? And then the DEA did say this put a significant dent into the Sinaloa cartel. And
can you imagine being on meth during the pandemic? Like, what are you going to do?
Well, and that was a question that came up. I asked him. I said, "What effect or impact did the pandemic have on the demand for this?"
Yeah.
And he says the demand shot up.
Really?
It did.
Oh. People are just stuck in their homes and they want to clean them top to bottom.
Here's an interesting one. So I was working on some research yesterday, and online alcohol sales and delivery up 693% from the same period last year.
Because people have nothing to do and idle hands, right?
Well, I don't know if they don't have anything to do as much as they're depressed.
There's that too.
There's a lot of depression.
Yeah, but you can't go to the movies. You can't go to the ballpark.
Well, you can in Orange County now.
You can go to the movies?
Yeah, a coworker here just said that she saw Tenet in the theater in Orange County yesterday.
Oh.
And ate inside of a restaurant yesterday. So,
what kind of strange world do we live in?
I know. It's kind of crazy, but good stuff. Yeah, this it was pretty impressive when you see all those just stacks and stacks of drugs. And they're going to have a raffle to give it away.
That's not funny.
Oh.
And I think that was more of a test to see if we were actually listening to the words that are coming out of
your
mouth.
Because she's sitting over there. She's still sitting over there going, thank you, Steve. Yep. Good to see you.
Bye, Steve.
Throws her pack of, in the trash, just like that. Thanks, Steve. Good to see you. As we was waiting for that.
Well, you just checked your watch.
I know, because I'm like.
Chris and Carlo never does that.
Actually, we don't know if he does because he doesn't come in.
I guess. Sure.
All right. Coming up next, Rich Johnson joins us from Vegas. There's a lot going on in Vegas. There's violence. There's casinos reopening. Some casinos are non-smoking. We'll see how that's working out.
Some casinos are going to close in the middle of the week. Did you see that, too?
Yeah.
Oh, our employee of the month is in Vegas?
What? No, you're thinking of a different Rich.
Oh.
That's Rick.
Rick.
Yeah.
Rick. I was heading to Vegas in about a week for a little getaway.
Yeah?
Who? Not going now.
Why not?
Well, there's, I mean. Oh.
Who? Who are we
I was
about?
I was heading. This is Layla. I said I was headed to Vegas with a friend.
Oh, you were headed to Vegas. Not? Why aren't you going?
Is it some, did it falling out with
because it's
friend?
Not as fun anymore.
No, I found out he has a wife.
Whoa. Whoa.
That kind of.
Yes.
When
we come back.
Yeah.
Our
I
special
need this
correspondent.
Story immediately.
Do you want any meth?
What?
Can we get some?
People wow. suck. This is today's episode people of People suck.
Oh, my God.
Sorry if I haven't been myself this week.
How
I'm a little chilled.
How long have you been friends?
Actually, 15 years. Just friends, strictly, like never crossed the
but
line.
But you didn't
just,
know he was married?
Yeah, he's been married for 6 years. That part got lost in
how
the conversation.
How did you find out?
Because I am a freaking journalist, and
yeah.
we
yeah.
did.
Yeah. Yeah, you should wait till
so
Shannon starts
coming up, I'll give you the tips on how to investigate. Woo! Ladies, you don't want to miss this.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
People suck, man.
Why didn't you let me in on this? I could have had a social security number for you months ago.
I know, and I thought about, you know, calling some friends to run a background check, but I did everything I needed
I
to on my own.
Surveillance. I could tell
I know, Steve Gregory. I knew you would have. Women like, have. I know. If I called on you, Steve, you would have been there for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I feel bad, though, man. Yeah. People are horrible.
Really bad people.
People really are awful.
Well, now, wait a minute. I mean.
Steve, get the hell out of here.
Don't try to chime in, Steve.
Gary and Chief.
I asked Steve about one of his friends, and he mm-hmm. still hasn't made the connection.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Thanks wait a lot, Steve.
Wait a minute. The connection for you?
Yes.
Well, it's Shannon's
is
friend,
it the
too.
Firefighter?
Oh, it's Shannon's
no.
friend, too.
Oh, okay. Who is
wait,
it?
Wait, who are we talking about? The firefighter?
I think this person is Shannon's friend. I
or
saw
the social
him,
media expert.
I saw him in Shannon's stories recently.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Start your
I'll
background
work on
check.
That.
Start your
yeah,
background
but,
check.
But I think there's all this pandemic concern about any kind of getting together stuff.
No.
Let's just do the news.
That's what Dr. Ferrer said.
Let's do the news. Let's
Gary and Shannon news. Will continue in just a moment.
I'm begging you. Wait, can you turn around? Can you turn around? Just wait. Can we work this out? Can we work this out? Just wait. Can you come here, please? Because I want to be
Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Amy Coney Barrett still in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and she will be today and tomorrow. Richard Blumenthal, senator from Connecticut, is the one asking her questions now, trying to paint her into a corner and have her express her opinions on a couple of different decisions that deal with gay marriage, the ones that outlawed or I guess made legal. It would have been Lawrence v. Texas that allowed sexual relations or disallowed laws against gay sex, whatever it was. Anyway, she's not going to answer the questions, and she's repeatedly said that, and he's still pressing.
Red flag warning up north in the Bay Area. Extremely dangerous fire conditions today through Friday. That warning is in effect. They say that they have bone dry humidity. And wind gusts will possibly hit 55 miles per hour. So PG&E is warning that it may cut power in as many as 24 counties.
A couple of baseball games tonight. Tampa Bay goes for a sweep of Houston. 5:40 is the first pitch. But before that, Dodgers try to stop the bleeding against the Braves. Their first pitch is at 3 o'clock. Oh, what a football game postponed. LSU Florida got postponed because the Florida Gators are having a surge in the number of COVID-19 cases
no,
in the program.
No.
That was. I think that coach is the guy who's like, I want to pack these stands.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want 90,000 people watching this game.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
Go Gator.
City of Beverly Hills has banned trick-or-treating. No trick-or-treating in the city of Beverly Hills.
The only place you
can go. What are you
going
to do? What are they going to do if you if they catch you?
They're going to throw you in Beverly Hills jail? Actually sounds kind of nice, doesn't it?
It's a beautiful building.
Well, we've been keeping an eye on the heartbeat of the state of Nevada. That's what we're going to settle on that, okay? Las Vegas. And how it's been recovering from the pandemic. It reopened several weeks ago, if not a couple of months ago, with some masks. Rich Johnson is our Las Vegas correspondent. What's going on, Rich?
Well, it's been up and down. I have to say from my own anecdotal walking around the Strip earlier this week and around downtown that people are using masks. Most of the casinos are enforcing that as vigorously as they can. Some are having mask checks and temperature checks at every entrance. Some are even doing ID checks because of the other problem that has come up recently.
So what's the other problem?
Yeah.
The ID checks.
People getting shot.
Oh, well.
Well, there's that. Is it a
fights, shootings? It started with we saw a video about a month ago, shortly after the Encore opened, like a dozen and a half people fighting in the lobby of the Encore. And we thought, oh, hey. And then it's gotten a lot more serious with some shootings, even some fatal shootings. Police here believe it is a combination of a couple of factors. Is that your alarm? Is that my alarm? Sorry about that.
We didn't hear it.
Tighter restrictions in other states like you in California are bringing more people here who just want to go nuts for the weekend beyond the usual Vegas nuttery level. And lower room rates has drawn what is being politely called a different crowd, which may include gangs.
Interesting. Well, I can understand people wanting to blow off steam more so than usual, like you said.
I've seen some of these room rates to that end, where you've got a pool inside your room, you've got a pool table inside your room, you've got two bedrooms, a full kitchen, and a huge suite going for $250 a weekend night. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Encore did something like that when, and they quickly realized the error of their ways and popped that back up to at least about $350, $400. And those suites a lot more. The problem was, even at 1,500 or something like that a night, people were packing in about 20, 30 people in that room, splitting it up. So it comes back down to $30 a night. And I've always said, when you pay $30 a night for a room in Vegas, you're getting a $30 room.
I'm really missing my dealer, Carol, at Main Street Station.
Oh, yeah.
We've gambled there together, and they've laid off a bunch of people.
They did starting at the end of next month. But here's maybe a little bit of good news. Starting tomorrow, Hawaii is open again. People flying to Hawaii, be it mainland people or returning Hawaiians, don't have to do the 14-day quarantine if they test negative for COVID before getting on the plane, which might be the saving grace for Main Street Station and the California, which do all that Hawaiian business over the years. Now, a little bit of bad news. We're talking about the Encore. They're going to close midweek, starting Monday at noon, reopening 2 p.m. Thursday, indefinitely until demand increases. They'll move a couple of things over to the Wynn, the companion property. My go-to Vegas expert, Dr. David Schwartz at the UNLV, says this has never happened before, but he also says don't be surprised if some other properties decide to do it.
Is the outlook for Vegas specifically and, the rest of the state of Nevada, that it would bounce back quickly? I mean, to use the president's words, he's talked about a V-style recovery from all of this. Is that kind of the outlook, is that once things start to reopen, everyone's going to go back to Vegas and spend the way they would normally do?
That was the hope, but it really, more than incremental property openings, it really depends on the big conventions. And a little bit of good news there is that some shows are coming back, or at least scheduling their reopening, and some conventions and conferences are coming back. You might like a couple of these and mark your calendar. One is called the Champs Show, the world's largest counterculture B2B wholesale trade expo serving the smoke shop industry. I see a remote there. There's also the SHOT Show, which is the firearm industry trade show, and my personal favorite, the International Roofing Expo, set in April.
Roofing expo.
Oh, God. We got to get Dean out there. Oof. Check out those roofs. Thank you for also introducing the phrase nuttery level, Rich.
Yeah, that's an exclusive for you guys. Feel free to trademark it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah.
Rich Johnson there in Las Vegas. We come back. We're going to do all of our trending stories.
And get the rest of the story from Layla.
Yeah. Well, we got to get
people
into
this. People are already reaching out, and they want to know what happened.
We'll do whatever we can to protect the identity.
No, we'll talk about it. We'll
actually,
use
never
name.
Mind. No.
Name names?
Dirtbag.
He no, needs, I'm
he
not
deserves
naming
to be strung
I'm just
out.
Kidding.
It's all good. I don't want to take over your show with my problems. I feel like every time we talk to me, I have issues.
Please do.
That's all right.
What the show's for.
If we can't take you at your worst, we don't deserve you at your best.
You know, I feel like you guys are my therapist.
That's fine.
And all of your listeners.
That's great. See? Safe space.
Trending when we get back to Gary and Shannon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now. Walk away. You know how. Don't start caring about me now. Aren't you the guy who...
Thanks for the pep talk there, Nick.
Did we establish, Jacob, is this... Pink or is this Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa.
This is Dua Lipa. Got it.
Get it together.
Well, I mean, they sound similar.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do sound similar. Yes.
No.
When you're 47 years old, they sound similar. Stop it.
You're getting actors mixed up watching a movie.
Who?
The Right Stuff.
No, those
that,
guys
my
look
parents
alike.
Do that.
But there was an entire article about how they look alike. They're all too handsome.
This doesn't sound like Pink.
I mean, at times it does.
It's not even a little bit.
You can't sigh like that. Amy Coney Barrett on break once again. They will continue their questioning of the Supreme Court nominee here in a few minutes. Justin Warsham's coming up.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, on a Wednesday. We get to ask this question. Will the pandemic socially stunt my kid?
Yes.
100%. Yes. If you terrify your children about the giant boogeyman that's out there and is going to eat them, then yeah, you know what? They might be. I heard a 10-year-old say the term socially distanced, and it made me sad.
Why? Because
if we,
that a 10-year-old has to know that. But if we did more of the socially distancing, we could open more things back up. It's people out there licking doorknobs that have screwed us in LA County, at least. I feel socially stunted when I see strangers now. Like when, remember yesterday when you saw a stranger and you didn't know what to do?
I smiled.
I said hello.
Yeah, I smiled. I figured if both of us said hello at the same time, the stranger would be like, what's wrong with you guys?
What else is going on?
Time for What's Happening.
I told you I tried to smile real big.
This
like,
show.
Oh, big smile eyes.
This show is off the tracks today.
Amy Coney Barrett, Supreme Court confirmation hearings now in day 3. Nominated to fill the seat of late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course. This is the second round of the question and answer phase, and it's very similar to what we saw yesterday. I wanted to point out that Richard Blumenthal was asking questions most recently and was asking the justice specifically about answers going back to, I think he did make reference to Senator Mazie Hirono's suggestion that Amy Coney Barrett was a horrible person because she said the term sexual preference, which is, according to Mazie Hirono, an outdated and offensive term. And some people even called it a homophobic wolf whistle. Anyway, this was Blumenthal asking Amy Coney Barrett about her opinions on some specific laws regarding gay marriage, which is the Obergefell versus Hodges decision, and then Lawrence v. Texas.
I would be responsible for applying the law of stare decisis to all of them.
But, Your Honor, think of how you would feel as a gay or
French
lesbian American
oh.
to hear that you can't answer whether the government can make it a crime for them to have that relationship, whether the government can enable people who are happily married to continue that relationship.
Senator,
think of how you would feel.
Well, Senator, you're implying that I'm poised to say that I want to cast a vote to overrule Obergefell, and I assure you I don't have any agenda, and I'm not even expressing a view in disagreement of Obergefell. You're pushing me to try to violate the judicial canons of ethics and to offer advisory opinions, and I won't do that.
Very simple. These questions keep coming up, and she keeps answering them that same way. Your point this morning was, earlier today, was they're doing this trying to get her to trip up. And at this point, if that's one of the goals that they have today, she hasn't tripped up at all in terms of being able to answer those questions.
The fight over ballot boxes in California continues. There have been some ballot drop boxes placed at places that conservatives are more likely to frequent in Los Angeles, Orange, Ventura, and Fresno counties. And the Secretary of State sent a cease and desist letter to the California Republican Party because they said that it was illegal to do this. Well, the state Republicans are not backing down, says, in fact, they plan to expand the program. We're going to continue the program, and if he wants to take us to court, then we'll see him in court.
Okay. I don't have a problem with somebody deciding that. That's fine. A huge methamphetamine bust, the one we were talking about with Steve Gregory, they talked about 5,200 pounds of methamphetamine believed to be tied to the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. Special agent in charge of the DEA's L.A. office said that they found the first bust, 2,200 pounds of meth, 893 pounds of coke, and 13 pounds of heroin at a stash house in Paris. Drugs were on the floor of two homes, 25 duffel bags in all, and all of it, they said, was ready to go, ready for distribution from this area.
Remember that horrible woman in Central Park? Well, we're learning that she's even more horrible than previously thought. This was the woman who called 911 on a black man because he asked her to put her dog on a leash. And she said, you know, I'm going to call and say that you're trying to assault me. And she calls. And she says that the man was threatening her and her dog, stressing that he was an African-American man. And it turns out there was a second call where she said that he assaulted her, we're learning, in court documents today.
Oh, my God. Well, she lost her job. I mean, she's
good.
She was a moron. So I'm assuming that they fired her for not just being a moron. In Beverly Hills, last night, the city council decided that they would ban trick-or-treating on Halloween. The ordinance approved last night prohibits house-to-house and car-to-car trick-or-treating from taking place on Halloween. It also bans spraying shaving cream on others.
What?
Was that a thing in Beverly Hills? People were spraying shaving cream on each other?
Unclear. I don't know.
Giving candy, Halloween treats, and toys to anyone living outside of your household is not allowed.
How are they going to enforce this? That's what I'm curious about.
With the trick-or-treaty police.
Well, the twerk boat is missing, guys. The New York State Police are actually asking the public for help to find this stolen boat. It flies a flag that says twerk boat, and the W in the twerk boat is a butt, like a butt. Otter.
Like an otter?
The backside.
Yeah,
You know, the buns.
Like an otter. Thank you for the better description of the butt. You know, the buns.
Otter.
Like
an otter.
Like an otter.
Otter.
Oh, we've got our strip club roundup coming up next. A lot of strip club news today.
Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up after Layla's news at the bottom of the hour, we will go live to Washington and check in on the Amy Coney Barrett hearings.
They're at day three. We expect them to wrap up at some point tomorrow and then assume they'll vote soon after that. And it will be along party lines there on the committee. on the Judiciary Committee. It'll be along party lines in the floor of the Senate also. But there's, unless something very, hey, it's 2020, so I don't want to say this, but unless something really weird happens, she will be confirmed and likely seated before the election.
Well, we've got a collection of strip club stories today in the news. So maybe provide music. A little mood music.
You first, say so. I don't know.
First on deck, Tommy Pham.
Oh, yeah.
Video of him with a huge wound to his lower back after he was stabbed outside
the
strip club.
I think I've seen that picture. Does he also have a tattoo back there? Or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
That was not him.
Bouncers broke up the fight, moved these people away from the area as Tommy Pham wearing red sweatpants and a white T-shirt, which if you're going to Pacers International down in San Diego, this is the way you dress. He's watching the whole thing moments after he was attacked, and the paramedics show up, stitch him.
The Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission of Massachusetts has indefinitely suspended the liquor license of a strip club in Springfield because they found COVID safety regulations were violated.
What?
At Mardi Gras.
No.
Can you believe they didn't play by the rules at the strip club?
Ugh.
I wonder what kind of wings they have.
Liquor license has been suspended indefinitely. That could be fined within 30 days, though. According to a report, investigators saw many people without face coverings standing near the bar. And also
had a lot covered.
Had bar seating, allowing customers to sit at the counter, which they weren't supposed to be doing. Not supposed to sit there. So
let's see what's on the menu at Mardi Gras here.
Many of the customers were not ordering food.
And meatballs. They've got meat and cheese boards, Nick.
You could get a charcuterie plate at a strip club.
You're damn right.
Sounds great.
Oh, they have a nice arugula salad as well.
Fresh, limp arugula.
That arugula did not look limp.
So there is a question, if you look specifically in San Diego County, about whether or not strip clubs can reopen.
They're not kidding with this charcuterie board at Mardi Gras. I mean, they've got prosciutto, they've got olives, they've got cashews.
Do they?
Yeah. Almonds.
That's my favorite one.
One, two, three, four, five different types of cheeses. Mm. They've got grapes and blueberries and raspberries on this thing.
See, that's
apricots.
Nice. You could just sit there and graze while you gaze.
Yeah. Because you don't want to eat a big meal.
Right. You don't want that. You want to graze and gaze charcuterie plate.
Yeah. You want to pick something to pick at.
Yeah, exactly. Under the current state and San Diego County health orders, restaurants are allowed to operate, but live entertainment venues are not. So if a strip club has a kitchen and a menu, they can stay open as a restaurant and serve $2 steak specials. But strip clubs are not to operate as bars or live entertainment venues.
You ever been to Roseburg, Oregon?
I know where it is.
They've got a topless bar there. They had their liquor license suspended.
For what?
Because there was a bartender not wearing a top and not wearing a face mask.
Well, that doesn't... That just means that they're having... Wait a minute. So you could be a bartender and not wear a top, but you do have to wear a mask.
This isn't even in Roseburg. This is in a town called Drain, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks like population 25, and they've got a topless bar. What does that look like?
Do you remember in Portland when there was a stripper strike in Portland?
Yeah.
A few months ago?
Yeah.
And everybody went, what does a stripper in Portland look like? And then you
Googled
closed your
it.
Eyes and you're like, oh my God.
Not a lot of soap, but a lot of bruises.
Talk about ruining the logging industry. I'm not sure what that means when you say it like that.
I think you do. All right, cut the stripper music. We've got to put this thing back on the track.
You're the one who's like, play Genuine, play Pony by Genuine.
I did not say that.
You said that. And you sounded exactly, I barely even finished. Hey, what song should I play for the background of the strip? And you're like, oh, Genuine.
Listen,
pony.
I know my stripper music.
Clearly.
Hey, before we go back on the rails, they did find the twerk boat. The twerk boat's safe.
So you know. Excellent.
Yeah.
And I said the tracks, not the rails.
What did, oh. Whatever.
I should have never brought that up.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob, for ruining everyone's...
Sorry on this Wednesday.
It's a sorry Wednesday.
Oh, it's hump day, guys.
Stop
That's
it.
That's why the camel's there.
Oh! Swamp Watch when we come back to Gary and Shannon.
Hump day.
Ugh. Gross.
Higher, I'm stronger now, I'm free. I'm who I want to be. Higher,
higher, higher. Ooh. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I guess it's good news. We're seeing some movement on the vaccine track. That even though we talked with Alex Stone yesterday about Johnson & Johnson pausing one of their vaccine trials, there are some vaccine tests now are going to be expanded to range to kids also, so that we can get a better indication of how kids would react to the vaccines for coronavirus.
Well, there's a reason why Obergefell is taken center stage at the committee's hearing for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And that is where we start Swamp Watch.
Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Now, Obergefell is, of course, the gay marriage issue, and there was a recent opinion from Justices Thomas Clarence and Samuel Alito.
Clarence Thomas.
What did I say?
You said Thomas Clarence.
Yeah. You know what I mean. Which harshly criticized Obergefell. And so the community is looking at Amy Coney Barrett and saying that she could be a deciding vote in this situation. She says she has no agenda, but she has in the past served on the board of a private school in Indiana that barred the children of unmarried couples from attending. Same-sex marriage was not legal in the state at that time. So this has been the topic that has really headline the day.
Inez de la Cutera is joining us once again from Washington, D.C. for us and for ABC News about what's been going on. Inez, how's it going today?
Going well.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's some technical difficulties at the hearing. So it's been a lot of, you know, kind of stops and starts. But interesting day, too.
Yeah, I think the interesting part started when Lindsey Graham said at one point, something about the good old days of segregation. Now, he used the term totally tongue-in-cheek, but had to explain that to some people during one of the breaks.
That's right. So that was a comment that did get a bit of attention. His Democratic opponent in South Carolina, the campaign of his Democratic opponent, said that that comment proved he was totally out of touch with South Carolina. Democrats were kind of getting at him on social media, and so he did eventually kind of address that and said he was being sarcastic, that he wasn't actually, you know, talking about the good old days of segregation. He insists he was being sarcastic.
The questions seem to get more direct today, and I likened it to a football team in the fourth quarter, and the defense is tired. The defense is tired, and the quarterbacks like to pick apart a tired defense, and she seemed to hold up pretty well despite having sat there for hours upon hours.
That's absolutely true. I think that's been impressive to watch. No matter what side of the aisle you fall on, she, you know, came in with no notes yesterday and has been, you know, went through 11 hours of questioning yesterday. She's expected to face just as many hours today, and she has been unflappable, no matter how pointed these questions. But the questions are getting kind of more direct because lawmakers today have less time, and this is their last chance to ask questions. Today they have 20 minutes each, whereas yesterday they had about 30 minutes each. So we are starting to see things get slightly more contentious, although, again, she has been unflappable. So no matter the line of questioning, she's been able to, get away with her argument, which is that she doesn't want to comment on cases and say how she would potentially vote. She doesn't want to work in the abstract, she says. She cites the Ginsburg method, says that there should be no previews, no hints, no forecast, because that would make her an impartial judge if she went into any case with any kind of, preemptive decision already made based on her views. And she continues to insist that she has no agenda, that she'll go into every case independently and go through the judicial decision-making process is what she calls it. When, lawmakers have brought up her past writing, past comments, she said she's one of the arguments she's made is that her scholarly writings are different than the judicial decision making process.
Shannon mentioned a couple of cases that have been brought up a couple of times today. Lawrence v. Texas, which would preclude a state from outlawing sex between genders or sex between the same gender. And then Obergefell versus Hodges, which was the 2015 decision that allowed same sex marriages. Now, My question is, and I'm not sure the answer to this, have they discussed the likelihood that the Supreme Court would take away someone's rights in these decisions? That if, in fact, Obergefell versus Hodges was to somehow be dismantled by the Supreme Court, that it's very unusual for the Supreme Court to take away someone's rights?
There's been a lot of, it's a case they've gone back to over and over again. She continues to say she won't comment on, precedent. She will comment on super precedent, which are cases that have, ceased to be questioned. But certainly the same-sex marriage issue has been a big one, and she hasn't said whether she, supports it or not. There was a contentious moment, I think it was with Senator Blumenthal, can't remember now, but it was brought up, and I believe it was one of the Democratic senators who told her that, the fact that she wouldn't come out in support of this being a right for many, a constitutional right, made him disappointed was the word he used, and that he wouldn't want to live in that kind of America, in an America that takes away people's rights. And she hit back and said that she was kind of offended that he would, suggest that that's what she aimed to do, that there was no evidence that she would, support overturning it. So it's been interesting to see. And a lot of the comparisons made, too, have been people pointing to the late Justice Antonin Scalia's views on same-sex marriage. And she has called Scalia one of her mentors. She clerked for him. She has said they share the same judicial philosophy. But today she tried hard to, once again, something we saw yesterday a little bit as well. She's trying to put a little bit of distance between her and Scalia, saying that she will not be Judge Scalia. She will be Justice Scalia. She would be Justice Barrett if confirmed. And today she responded to Blumenthal saying, she had a mind of her own and that she hoped that he wasn't inferring that she would just always be voting the way Scalia would have voted.
What is the voting timetable for this when it comes to the committee and the full Senate as well?
So they're expected to wrap up these hearings tomorrow. That'll be the last day. And then we are expecting a vote. They're trying to push this through before the election. They have said they are expecting to hold a vote on her confirmation on October 22nd. Republicans, as of now, seem to have the votes. I think the big, issue going into these hearings was whether she could maybe lose any Republican votes. But given how she's done, how she's managed to answer these pointed questions, that seems very unlikely at this point. So Republicans do have the votes. It's almost a foregone conclusion that she will be confirmed to the Supreme Court bench. And so what's been interesting in these hearings is more to watch the back and forth between Republicans and Democrats kind of using these hearings to make their final case to voters, not so much change the outcome of this confirmation.
Can I ask a procedural question about this? Because my the times that I have been able to watch parts of this, Chairman of the committee, Lindsey Graham, has been allowing senators to go over their time. He hasn't done that thing where we saw during the impeachment proceedings, someone's hammering a gavel on the podium and screaming, "Your time is up, your time is up." He doesn't seem to have been doing that.
That's a really good point, and I had not picked up on that, but you're absolutely right. He has not been doing that. He's been a little bit more lenient here, and I think it's just the overall tone of this. These hearings have been so different than what we've seen in the past when it comes to these hearings, especially when you compare this hearing to the Brett Kavanaugh hearing that was so much more contentious. The time, I believe, back then was being strictly enforced. The tone of these hearings is a lot more cordial. There's a lot more respect in the room, and that could be why Lindsey Graham is deciding to be a little bit more lenient with the time.
Inez, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, the numbers are growing. President Trump and the Vice President Biden continue to zero on some of these key battleground states.
What the president put on social media today?
Oh, the poster?
Yeah, it's like a picture of people in a home wheelchairs, elderly people. And it says Biden for president and the P is crossed out. So it's Joe Biden for resident.
And his head's imposed on a guy sitting in a wheelchair.
Good Lord.
All right. And what perhaps their travel itinerary tells us about how important these states are.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up next hour, Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast, will join us. Parents are now wishing they had superhero powers. That's how bad it's gotten during the pandemic.
Interesting. I don't know about superhero powers.
What power would you like?
I go back and forth between the invisibility and the flying thing.
You put thought into this.
Oh, how can you not?
Does every dude put thought into this?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Have you dudes put thought into this? Having a superhero power?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Invisibility or flying?
Stopping time.
Oh, that's... Jacob, that might be the winner.
Nick, what about
you?
That's
pretty good. I would like to fly, but stopping time sounds good too.
Well, we'll discuss.
Like click?
Oh, God. An Adam Sandler movie is what you base your superhero choice?
Like Huey Halloween?
Oh, I did. I watched that, by the way.
So did I. It was not good.
All right. Well, the president and Vice President Joe Biden are zeroing in on some key battleground states this week.
Mark Remillard is on the story. And, Mark, what can we ascertain from these schedules?
Well, you see the Trump campaign certainly looking at states that – he won in 2016, some by very close margin, which we knew were going to be battleground states, but some that he won handily. Look at Iowa. He's having a rally in Des Moines today, and Iowa was a state he won by 10 points in 2016. Right now, polling shows him, I mean, within a margin of error, but on average, polling numbers provided by 538 show Biden 47.8%, Trump 47.3%. So, I mean, you can't really say one's leading over the other there, but, I mean, a 10-point difference, it seems, in the polling compared to what we saw in 2016. That's an example. You look at Georgia is another state where Trump won that by 5 points. President Trump, 2 points underwater in polling averages right now. North Carolina, another state. So these are all states that his campaign is having to focus on, and the president focusing on himself as well as he does a breakneck schedule coming off that COVID-19 illness that sidelined him for a week. And he's looking at Pennsylvania and Florida, of course, which we know are battleground states, but those are going to be tough wins for him as well. He's also underwater in polling, and those are states he won in 2016. So he's playing an electoral college defensive game right now.
I think this is also interesting that 4 years ago, there was early voting and there has been for some time, but never to this level. And that makes these last 2 weeks before the election that much more important when it comes to these campaign stops.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to capture voters before they head to the polls because we're in the home stretch. And so Votes are being cast right now. People can't go back and change ballots. So, you know, the president and Biden, just campaigns in general, are running out of time, especially, it seems, for the president, who's kind of playing this defensive game, trying to win back ground. But numbers are records are being smashed in some areas. In Georgia, for example, a state where the race is getting closer, that typically is a state the president should be able to rely on as a Republican. 128,000 votes casted on day one of early voting this year. Compare that to 2016, they didn't even hit 91,000. So you're talking, what is that, 30,000, 40,000, you know, more votes this year already cast. Now, reports of long lines, things like that, trouble at the polls. Similar story in Texas, Harris County, more than 100,000 votes cast on day one. And if you compare that to 2016, their highest day was 68,000. So you can see that there is some enthusiasm for the turnout. It could be enthusiasm for voting, could be also just people want to avoid long lines on election day. So they're a little more focused to early voting this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's accurate. But like you said, just Georgia alone, I mean, people were waiting 8 hours.
It's crazy. So there are concerns, obviously, about even long lines now, and what will election day look like if there's a groundswell, right? And there truly is just more turnout this time, then you can still see long lines on election day, you know, rather than necessarily an alleviation of that on election day, that more people voted early. That's possible, too. But long lines already being reported in Texas and Georgia, just as two examples, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of ballots being cast in single days on in-person voting. And that's not including all the people, the millions of people who have requested ballots to vote absentee. Obviously, in California, you guys get sent ballots, but many other states across the country, millions of ballots being requested and people wanting to vote that way, too, and vote early.
Yeah, we got an alert that there have already been a million ballots cast in California, which would be a record this early on. So,
wow. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things. It's probably a combination of COVID-19, people not wanting to maybe go down to the polls, people wanting to avoid long lines, but also the enthusiasm. I think you have galvanized voters on both sides. You have pro-Trump supporters who want to defend him and they feel like he's under attack and want to support him. And I think you have people who are never Trumpers who just, we don't want four more years of this. So, you know, I think you have a very galvanized voting base right now.
Mark Remillard, thank you. Appreciate all the insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, coming up next, a lot of moving parts on a possible vaccine this week. Alex Stone is on all of the details and will join us coming up next. I'm going down, down.
Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app on a Wednesday. It's October 14th. A bunch of stuff going on today. We're in day three now of the Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearings for Amy Coney Barrett. There's an interesting thing going on, and it's not specific to this confirmation hearing. It happens all the time, but politicians want to use the moments that they've been given to make their case about whatever they think about the world and the condition of the country. And to give you an example, Senator Macy Hirono was just questioning Judge Barrett a few moments ago, and she's given about 20 minutes, give or take, and I think she went approximately 22 minutes. Of those 22 minutes that she was allowed, Judge Barrett spoke for 2 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yeah, they're all using it as their platform to give whatever message they want to the voters or whoever's watching this. And because they all know it's a foregone conclusion that she's going to be confirmed.
They'll ask questions like, as an example, do you like chocolate chip cookies? I'll take a yes or no answer. And the moment the judge says something along the lines of, well, I happen to be gluten.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Intolerant. Your Honor, you'll excuse me for interrupting, but I have limited time. So it wipes away whatever response the judge was going to give because they think their time is more important than what it is that she has to say, even though they're the ones who are complaining that she's going to get a lifetime appointment if she's confirmed.
Well, we've got vaccine news, and so we turn to the Alex Stone desk where all the answers lie. Alex, what is the latest?
To the vaccine desk we go. And, yeah, we told you yesterday about the two trials that are on hold in the U.S. now, the one from Johnson & Johnson and the one from AstraZeneca that remains on hold. But there are two more in phase three, one from Pfizer, one from Moderna. And now we're hearing from Pfizer and those taking part in the trial with Pfizer that they have been approved to now give the trial vaccine to children. This is a big step forward toward eventually getting approval. And we talked today to the man who's doing it, Dr. Robert Frank at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And he says they're ready to go. And already a lot of families are saying, hey, give it to my kid. Let's go.
We put out an ad yesterday, and we had 90 families that contacted us in a day to say that they would be interested in participating. And this would be from, we were collecting just a database from 12 to 17.
12 to 17 years old. They had only been doing adults up until now. And he says, this is natural. This is the way it goes. You begin a trial with adults who can give their own consent, who probably can read their symptoms if they do have any, the best, and then report it in. Then you bring it down. They plan to begin 16 to 17 year olds this week, and then eventually down to 12 year olds.
What we're looking at here is kind of a model that's been used more often now in oncology and cancer trials, as far as that when you get enough data in the adults to say it looks safe, it looks like it's giving some signal of it's working, then to start in children.
So that's the big part of it, that it seems to be working, that it seems to be safe, that shows that Pfizer, which is kind of along with Moderna, been the leading candidates, that they're going in the right direction. Now, we did ask him, guys, why children? And he said, you got to do it. And contrary to some claims, children have gotten sick, they have died, they can spread the virus to family members, kill a family member. So he says they too are, once we as a public can get vaccinated, that they're going to, he's a pediatrician, they're going to suggest that the children get it too. Here's what he said.
We've had over 500,000 children diagnosed by PCR of having COVID-19. We've had children that died of COVID-19. We have over 100 children that have already died of COVID-19. We've had children that are hospitalized and in the intensive care unit from a disease called MISC, which is a complication of COVID. So while it is less common that children are getting very sick, it's not zero, and it's not that they're immune, and it's not that they're protected.
So he says when you can get it, when it's out there, that children need to get it too. And so the numbers right now, 44,000 participants are in the Pfizer trial. They have now included volunteers, adults who have HIV, Hep C, Hep B. They want to see how their bodies respond. They want to make sure that nobody has any reaction, any side effects before the vaccine gets approval. But this is a big step that now they can start giving it to children.
I find it fascinating that so many parents have raised their hands to get their kids involved in the vaccine trials.
I know. One day, he said they put the ad out, and that same day, yesterday, until this morning when we talked to him, he said 90 families had said, yep, let's do it.
Is there any indication from these doctors or drug companies that they expect one response or the other? I mean, to what the doctor was saying there, it's not, you know, kids aren't immune from this, but for the vast majority of them, even more so than in older populations, they don't appear to have any major side effects of the or symptoms, I suppose, of the disease itself. Can they then say that they're confident that a vaccine would also not produce even some of the side effects we have seen in some of the adults?
Well, the side effects, except for the very minor ones, those that do anything that could potentially be serious going down the road, that's why Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, those have been put on hold. They think that Pfizer and Moderna, then Pfizer for now, that it will be exactly like what they've seen in adults. You know, maybe a headache, maybe your arm hurts, maybe you feel a little poopy for a while, but beyond that, not much more. That at least body-wise, he said 16 and 17-year-olds, you know, physically are very similar to adults. So they think they're going to go fine. What they have to figure out is dosing as they go younger. Does a 12-year-old need the same thing as a 40-year-old? And they've got to figure that out. But they expect that if it's worked in a 25-year-old, that it's going to work in a 12-year-old as well. And that's what they're going to be looking for in the next couple of weeks.
Well, breaking news, the president's son, 14-year-old Barron, tested positive.
Oh, did he really?
For the coronavirus and has since tested negative. But yeah, that news just coming out now.
They kept that one quiet.
And they sure did. Alex Stone, thanks so much for the latest. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up next. People that are Disneyland fanatics that go several times a year are having a really, really hard time.
What day are we? It was 214.
Like they're in tears. It's not going well.
I imagine. We did just, was it last week or the week before? Those people who are driving all the way down from the Bay Area just to sit in the parking lot and then turn around and drive home.
Yeah, it's very sad because they rely on Disneyland for their, you know, mental health pretty much. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
I know you got a room with a view up there and you're looking down on me. I know you got a room with a view up there. Please save a spot for me.
Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Barron Trump tested positive for the COVID. First Lady says
I knew it. He's the one. He was the super spreader.
First Lady says he had no symptoms and has since tested positive.
Negative.
I mean, you know, yeah, sorry. I'm getting words mixed up today. Just don't listen to me. I'll just sit over here quietly in the corner.
You got to stop watching TV so late at night.
The confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett paused for about 40 minutes today because of audio difficulties. And as led on that there were some technical issues, which is odd. You know, we're 8 months into this thing. Should figure out the Zoom by now.
And it would be one thing if it was like Lindsey Graham cobbled together a series of computers to try to figure out how to do this. They have some pretty highly paid, well-versed technological people who work for Congress, and they can't figure this stuff out.
The sound cut out right after Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal asked Barrett if she got some rest after yesterday's long day of questioning. She acknowledged that she had a glass of wine afterward. The audio cut out again.
Wait. Did she say what kind?
No, not that I know of. Why?
Well, I just mean...
This is the second time alcohol has worked its way into a confirmation hearing.
That's right. Forgot about that. Remember, I like beer.
He likes beer.
Who doesn't like beer? All right. So Disneyland been closed for 214 days. And as we've seen from the governor, there's very little urgency to reopen the theme parks around the state of California.
Stacy Major is 32 years old. She's a high school teacher, and she says it's the longest stretch that she hasn't been to Disneyland since 2012, the 7 months. She says that she's been crying, watching videos of Disneyland parades on YouTube and crying.
Hey, listen. We all deal with this in different ways.
She says being surrounded by crowds is exciting, makes us feel like we're part of a group and a community.
Yep.
It produces temporary endorphins and instills happiness that's hard to replicate. And that Disneyland checks every box when it comes to human sensory needs and desires. The smells, the tastes, the sounds, the experiences. You get all of that in that one environment. Let's see here. Cameron Kagi is a 30-year-old Apple salesman. He visited Disneyland.
A salesman for Apple, or he sells apples?
For Apple.
Big Apple.
Don't be ridiculous.
Okay.
He went to Disneyland 123 times last year.
Wow. This is something I don't get. Listen, hold on a second. I love Disneyland also. I've loved taking kids there. I love going with just my wife. I love when the entire family goes. I love it also. There ain't a way in hell you're going to drag me there 120 times a year.
No, I don't get it either. But, you know, it's what some people are into.
But it's funny that you mentioned that being a sensory, you know, the sensory overload almost that you get is something that people desire. They like to know that they're part of the part of the group and the crowd that all like this one thing. I just can't imagine doing it 120 times.
Cameron's been hosting Disneyland trivia nights on Zoom. Transformed his backyard into a Jungle Cruise meets Adventureland hangout.
Okay.
Like with a fire pit and bamboo fencing. The people who are creating Disney magic are also Disney bounding, a subtle costume trend of dressing like a Disney character using clothes from the closet. Disneyland does not allow guests 14 and older to wear costumes.
As a reminder, you didn't know. Don't plan on doing that. 29-year-old Lauren Gabourelle is another Disney bounder. She puts her outfits on her Instagram account at Dresses and Capes, if you want to go check it out. She said, when I heard the new Ariel would be a black princess, I cosplayed her immediately. There's a very active black nerd Disney community that I am part of. That seems like a very specific. And I'm trying to inspire others. I want everyone to know that they can be a Disney princess. And when I was growing up, I didn't have that.
Vacation anticipation, they say, is a very real thing. It does help your brain. And now we don't have it anymore.
It's true. It is absolutely true. Well, Layla, hold on a second. You laugh, but I hate to poke my finger into a bruise, an emotional bruise like this.
But you did have anticipation.
You did have
to
anticipation
go to
that your Vegas was on the calendar, and now it's not.
Right.
Was the giggle to hide the pain?
I think I'm just wounded. When, in general.
So you've known this guy for 15 years, and then recently you started talking a little bit more like more than friends?
Right. So just a quick backstory. 15 years friends, but this is a person whose job takes them overseas a lot because they coach abroad. And so, you know, you talk on email and on the phone. Like, it's just a friendship. Just a great friend. In my mind, I thought we were great friends. And then because of COVID, this person is back in the States, and now the conversations have increased. So then it was like, wait a minute. We never talked about possibly being more than friends or dating, you know, or just hanging out more than just, you know, via the phone or in person whenever he's back in town.
So you started doing that.
Talking on the phone more.
And then you had a trip to Vegas planned. He said, why don't we go out and meet in Vegas?
His birthday is coming up. He says, hey, I'm going to be in Vegas. And I know this might be a lot to ask during COVID, but would you meet me in Vegas and we can hang out? And, you know, just that's it. That's how the conversation went.
And you said yes?
I was like, oh, my God, yes.
And then what happened?
Well, you know, when people don't respond a lot when you're calling or texting, and things just get a little weird. And then they want to WhatsApp all the time when they're calling you by phone. I got an uneasy feeling, right?
Yeah.
And then he did an interview recently, and I wanted to watch the interview. So I Googled this interview that he had done for a podcast. And the guy kept saying to him, hey, how are you doing? You're back home in Dallas. And to my knowledge, this person has never lived in Dallas. Remember, I worked in Dallas for 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
Never knew he had a house in Dallas. Started doing my research, because it was just odd. And I found that he got married in 2014, that he does have a beautiful home in Dallas, and the rest is history. So the next conversation was, hey, I didn't know you had a home in Dallas, which began.
It's where my wife lives.
Right. It began a list of other lies. And then finally I said, is there anything I should know before Vegas? And he says, no, not that I could think of. I said, nothing that you think I should know. And he says, no. And I said, well, funny thing happened. This is what I found out. And I reveal my facts, you know, from the Google. And then he says, you know what, Layla? You got me. You got me.
Oh, my God.
Like it's a game. So I was very nice about it and told him I was disappointed and, you know, disgusted. And he starts to tell me how they're having issues. Listen to this,
God.
Man. You can't have issues with your wife that I didn't know about. The wife that you've had for 6 years. I don't care about your issues. I care about the fact that You didn't tell me 6 years ago. Ooh. And this is what I also said to him. You can't decide that I'm going to be a mistress. You don't mistress me. You don't put me in that category. Right. First of all, I am the only entree. I don't do that other stuff. So I just told him I wish him and the wife, who I now know about, the best in their life. And I told him, you better be glad we didn't go to Vegas. I would have shown up. I would have been that lady. I would have flown to Dallas, rang your nice little doorbell to your beautiful home.
Mm.
5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home that I found online. Very pretty. with a nice warm batch of Tiff's Treats cookies and had a conversation with said wife. No kids involved, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So the friendship's over. It's so sad. It wasn't even necessary to get to this point. It's just sad.
That's so shady.
He's a horrible person.
Hey.
You got me.
But if there's,
you got me.
If there's a positive, you didn't end up going to Vegas.
No, right. I'm not that person. And let me tell you, I still believe there are good people out there and that eventually I'll find love. I'll be an old bird looking for love, but I'll find love.
I know you will.
Hey, Jacob, play some sad music while we talk.
What's not to love about you, Layla?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Shannon. Some days I question.
Oh, stop it.
Don't
you come here.
Ever question. Don't ever question. Oh, no, not this Peanuts Christmas music.
Right.
Now you know. It's a sad
I
story.
Know. I hope I wasn't talking too much just then, but I wanted to give you guys the whole story.
I needed the whole story.
I had to condense it for you because Gina Grad texted me like she was waiting for it. She was waiting for the story.
Oh, boy.
So now I'm not going to Vegas.
Men are so shady.
Hey, whoa.
Yeah, they are. Man, let me tell you, I've met some shady people.
And they're all men?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got some stories for you people people.
Listen,
and
I believe
the ladies
you.
Ladies in this room.
But who
have
does
you heard
that?
About Iowa before?
No.
Oh, we'll save
I
it.
Had I was
he had an
Lucky Land Casino asking people what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You too.
I was engaged to be married to her.
And she cheated.
And she got all shady on me.
Yeah.
I've been to Iowa once. I was there for less than 24 hours for a wedding.
I've been to Iowa once too.
Oh, that's how you found out? You found out when you had to go see her?
Yep.
Did you walk in?
No.
No, there was evidence, though.
No. If it was a movie, yes, I walked in. But no, not
a movie. Oh, man.
All right. We'll talk. We'll clear.
Thanks, Jacob.
Clear our broken hearts off the table and talk to Justin Worsham when we come back, all about dad stuff.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I mean, Supreme Court nominee confirmation hearings are not usually funny. And then when someone tries to make them funny, it gets even cringeworthy. But Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, said there's an orange cloud hanging over the nomination of the Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Melania Trump says Barron, the 14-year-old son, tested positive for the coronavirus but has since tested negative. The White House initially said he had tested negative after both the parents tested positive.
So he may have just gotten it later.
Yeah.
Maybe he did test positive or negative when they had it. But the Republican Party, the state Republican Party, says it's going to change the labeling on their ballot drop boxes. They're not official. And they're trying to avoid any confusion with those used by the county registrars, which are official, even though state election officials say they're illegal to begin with. Republican spokesman Hector Barajas said that officials started using the boxes to try to boost turnout in some areas with competitive races. Well, about this time every week, we like to welcome in Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast. And we like to talk about things about dadding and parenting and kids and
being a hot dad and the sacrifices one has to make to be a hot dad.
listeners of KFI. I bring all my hot sexiness to the radio airwaves Wednesday, 1:30 to 2. You're welcome.
If that's about all we can handle, by the way. If we had to go three segments with you, I'm afraid that we'd all feel, we'd all get flushed.
You left humility off the list.
Well, listen, I'm working on it, guy. I'm not perfect.
Right.
I mean, I'm as close as it comes, but, you know, the humility part, the modesty, that's, you know, I'm a work in progress, so you just have to bear with me, guys.
Oh, I love it. Love
but speaking about what we can handle, I wanted to come on here and ask to defer my time to talk more about Layla's tumultuous love life. That was some riveting stuff. I'm sitting here waiting to come on. I loved it.
Not tumultuous.
And I got to be honest, I've never met Layla in person. But I don't know if this is the wrong reaction, but it made me a little afraid of her. I don't know why.
Really?
Afraid?
Why?
Wrong.
No.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong? Because
I didn't do anything wrong.
I exposed a cheater?
Yeah. What, Justin, do you have something to be worried about?
Listen, I feel like we should be talking more about Layla and less about me in this situation. That's what I was trying to talk about.
Do you
about.
Have a secret family in Dallas?
Not Dallas. That's, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, not Dallas. Who lives in Dallas?
No.
His family's in Houston.
Memphis is a much better property value. It's just a better situation for investing in real estate and in families.
I was telling Shannon a story off the air here about some kids I know who are clearly getting socially stunted from pandemic times, from the fact that parents are overprotective in some cases. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be protective. Like, you need to make sure your kids know there is something going on. But overly protective is an issue that is bothersome. Now, I think you and I agree about a lot of issues. There are certain ages where it's okay for your kids to know about things that go on in life. I'm trying to think of the right example. I was telling a parent of little kids about the story recently where two LA County sheriff's deputies were ambushed in their car. That's all I said. I didn't say anything about that they were shot. I didn't say the type of injuries. I didn't say who did. I just said two sheriff's deputies were ambushed in their car. And the one of the parents went like this. Oh, no, shush. We're not going to talk. There's kids in the room. Now, first of all, the kids weren't paying attention to a damn thing I was saying. Second of all, they have no idea what the word ambush means. And even if they did, they wouldn't understand the incredibly violent nature of what I was talking about. But that type of overprotectiveness, I think, is on absolute high frequency because of people being careful about the pandemic.
Can I remind me how old these kids were?
They were 10 and 13.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I do. I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think what happens is that you try so much. We've talked about this as like a kind of a underlying theme of all of these segments is that people try so hard to protect their kids, and it comes from a good headspace, like it makes sense on paper. But in reality, what they're doing is they're robbing their kids of using the neurons in their brain to process negative experiences. And as they get older and then are confronted by the harsh realities of the world, and I say that because in reality, I don't think there's a lot of the world that is harsh. But when you grow up in a bubble, it just hits you like hard and fast. I've seen it from other friends. And they don't know how to process it. And so, therefore, I don't pull any punches. Like, we're kind of I'm sure there's some point that if somebody put a recorder in my house, I'd be like, well, why did you tell them about this? Like, I don't know. If my kids have a question about what's going on in the news or anything along those lines, we just tell them, like, this is what it is. And in my opinion, my kids are pretty well adjusted. I mean, a highlight of their childhood, no joke, was gambling on horses with Shannon Farron on her birthday. That was a highlight of their childhood. Call me a bad parent. Call CDC, call the Child Protective Services if you want. If you want to take gambling away from my kids, then I don't deserve to be a father.
You got to start them young, you know?
Right?
And when you're teaching kids how to gamble, using animals to do so is a good way to start them young.
Exactly. Well put. But to go back to the point of this stunting is that I'm not a guy who gets worried, so I don't really see this as a thing. But in looking at it, what they're talking about is like by covering up everybody's half of their face, what they're worried about is that people won't have emotional intelligence. Like during the early development years of a child, parents are worried. This is what we have to worry about now. This is how involved and worried parents are naturally, that they're digging this deep to go, well, you're covering half the face during the prime emotional intelligence development years of my child's life. Now they're not going to see the intricacies and subtleties of the mouth and how it expresses emotions. What if they can't understand a smile and they're 8 years old? Like, and all the doctors, like, everybody calm down. Like, everything is going to be fine.
That new concern is from the same parent who, when the kids would get unruly, would throw an iPad in their face for 4 hours at a time.
Yes. Yes. Or, ironically, the same person is saying, shush, shush, we don't use words like ambush. It's too aggressive. It's a trigger word. Like, lighten up. Yeah. I don't know. This is where I get, it's bad for a radio segment because I literally get lost for words because all of them are explicative.
When we come back, how about this? More than 9 in 10 parents said they wish they had a superhero power to help them with their parenting.
This is the dumbest thing ever, and I love it.
Isn't it so great? This would be a great drunk conversation.
So I didn't know about dudes and the thought that they've put into what their superhero
power, yeah.
Power would be.
Yeah. And take the time, and Layla, feel free to jump in on this, and take the time to think about what you would like your superhero power to be, because this is how bored we're getting in the pandemic, guys. This is what it's come to.
Stand by. Justin Worsham is going to continue. Dad Podcast is where you can find Justin, all of his stuff. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. John and Ken coming up in a few minutes. We'll have more on today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Judge Amy Coney Barrett, confirming her for the U.S. Supreme Court. President Trump, Joe Biden will go head-to-head tomorrow night, but not in a debate. They'll be in separate town hall meetings with undecided voters, they say. Trump will participate in a town hall meeting. NBC News and Savannah Guthrie will moderate in Miami. And at the same time, Joe Biden will take part in an ABC News town hall meeting in Philadelphia with George Stephanopoulos.
Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast, is with us. And people now want to be superheroes to deal with their children during the pandemic.
I love this because, so here's what I do is I comb the internet naturally, just looking for, I like research, and most of it is all, it's all articles about dealing with parental stress during the pandemic and your kid's screen time. That's 99% of it. And then you'll go like 2 pages deep in a Google search and you'll come across, a gem like this where I don't even know how people started to come up with the idea of asking parents what kind of a superhero you would like to have. I mean, I know it was sponsored by like a vitamin company that was doing it because they're partnering with Marvel or whatever. But I just love that number one wasn't even the ability to heal your kids during the pandemic.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's what I was so funny about this.
You know, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. That says something about how horrifically selfish human beings are. That the majority of us wouldn't do those things to help other people. We wouldn't think of a superhero power to help other people. We would think of something just to benefit ourselves.
Right. Super healing was number 6 on the list in the overall research. Number 1 was invisibility, which I think is so they could spy on their children.
Or listen.
Or their kids don't know they're in the room,
yes.
So you can't bother them.
Can't. Mommy.
Stop it.
Mom. That is funny. So the 20 superpowers that parents wish they had. Number 1, invisibility. That makes sense. And number 2, flying. I was saying that those are the two that I would kind of vacillate between.
Flying has nothing to do with being a parent, though. That's just something you want to do.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like,
right.
3 is time travel.
Oh, so you can go into the future when this crap doesn't exist and you don't have to deal with your kid in the house all the time.
Or how about this? You could, before you have to make...
Think it's a good idea I didn't have kids?
Before you have to make some massive decision that you think is going to affect the kid's life, you time travel 20 years ahead and see, did that affect my kid's life?
Yeah, no, it didn't.
teleportation.
Gary is so much a better person because I went where Shannon was going. Is that I think they wouldn't say it out loud, but the parents who put time travel at number 3 on the list, right, 2 ahead of super healing powers during a pandemic, are people who are second guessing their decision to have children in the first place. I really believe that.
I love that.
Go back. 4 was teleportation. 5 was super strength. 6 was those super healing abilities, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah. I like that they said about the teleportation is that they thought it would make it easier for them to both be at work and as a parent, which I would argue that they would need to have the superpower of multiple man, where he could split himself off into multiple versions of himself, and they would go off and live their own life.
Yeah, there was a Michael Keaton movie about that called Multiplicity, where he made clones of himself.
Yeah, that was good. Mr. Mom, though, is my favorite Michael Keaton movie.
Of course it is.
Telepathy was number 7. Telepathy, and I assume maybe to see what the kids were thinking, perhaps? But
yeah.
I would.
I like that idea, too. Is that what you're going to say? I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
No, I was going to say I don't want that power. I don't want to know what my kids are thinking of. Because then,
why not? No. Why not? Help me.
It's privacy.
Because they hate you.
They don't hate you.
They do hate you.
They do not hate you.
Well, then how about this? They may not hate you when they're 6 and 8, but when they're 16 and 18, chances are they're going to hate you. Because they're developing those muscles of hate. Or something. I don't know. Muscles of hate. Super speed was number 8. Talking to animals was number 9.
I think a lot of this has more to do with the parents and what they're into than anything to do with the kids.
Also, I don't know if you remember.
Oh.
Where did you go?
Drinking during the pandemic. They may have been a part of this survey based on what we're reading.
That's true. Being able to breathe underwater. Yeah. How would you possibly?
How does that help with parenting?
Except the fact you could escape in the pool and the kids couldn't find you.
Oh, that's true.
I suppose.
It goes back to Shannon's thing. It's sanctuary. You could go in a bathtub and just go underwater. It's like being invisible, but more convenient, maybe. Yeah.
But less creepy. Number 16, being able to get ready, shower, dressed, clean teeth, etc., at the click of a finger.
Wow, that would be nice. Could you imagine?
Invulnerability, like you couldn't get hurt in any way. Number 18 would be psychic. Number 19 would be X-ray vision. And number 20 would become a human lie detector. Instantly know when someone isn't quite telling the truth. Here's a little secret about that one, though. If you're a parent and you suspect that your kid is lying, you tell them that their mommy dot is showing. And it's a little dot on their forehead that turns bright red when they're lying. And only mommies and daddies can see it.
I love this.
How long did your kids believe that for?
Long enough for when they would start to tell a story, they put their hand up over their forehead like this. Oh. And then tell the story.
That's hilarious.
I kid you not.
And just real quick, to look at the overall list, number 1, invisibility, right? Arguably used to avoid your children. Number 20, arguably the most useful as a parent to be able to detect when they're lying, and it's on the bottom of the list.
Absolutely.
Justin, thank you.
You're welcome. I wasted everybody's time.
Justin Warsham, host of the Dad Podcast every Wednesday. John and Ken Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay dry, everybody.
Blessings.
Can we turn our beds into bunk beds?
Gary and Shannon.
Rumpus time is over. You got a big day tomorrow.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.